Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shea Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
News Talk 580 WTCM, Colleen Ware is here on the Prout Financial Hour, and this is overwhelming. I look around. Here's Dennis Prout sitting to my left. Above him is this beautiful lit sign that says, "Welcome to the Prout Financial Design Studio." And he has his whole team and more in here in the room with us. I think this is the biggest crowd we've had in here. We're using every single microphone in the Prout Studios.
Welcome. Check. Welcome, Colleen, to being on radio, right? Serious, a full studio. And here you're running the board. I think I'm on.
Yeah, you're anyway, on.
All
yeah,
right.
You are on, my friend.
So it's great to be here. And yeah, we do have a full house. We have some guests with us this morning from Ford Agency. We'll introduce them in just a moment because guess what's coming up? The Medicare Advantage Plan sign up.
Guess what?
Oh, my goodness. Everyone,
excitement builds.
Calm down. Yes. Calm down.
You know, we are actually going through this in our home right now. And it's my husband is really good at doing the paperwork and following the directions and whatnot. But I look at that stuff and go, oh, man, I need help. I need someone to help me.
It's crazy. You got to be 65. And who turned 65? I mean, it sounds nuts to even say. But yeah, the number of us turning 65 is crazy in terms of the whole baby boom generation is now turning, well, in their 60s.
Yeah.
Let's move on, shall we, to introduce our guests
yes,
today. Let's. Thank you both for joining us. Laverna Whitcup, benefits agent at Ford Agency. Laverna has been on with us, I don't know, eight years, something like that. A long time. Talking about Medicare Advantage plans and Medicare and the ins and outs of this for retirees generally. And now today, Dawn McConnell joins you as well. Dawn is the benefits account manager.
That's right.
Well, it's great to have you both with us. Thank you for joining us.
And I want the listeners to know they're sitting. We have two very nice,
cozy
chairs in the corner with a beautiful walnut table with the mics attached. I mean, this is very
high-tech.
Very high-tech.
It's pretty lush.
It is lush. So you're our first guest in the fancy chairs.
Awesome. I want to sit in the fancy chairs. That's what I thought. One of these days, I think I might come out of my little room and sit there just because it's so comfortable.
So let's start very basic to begin. What's the difference between Medicaid and Medicare? Which they've named them very closely, so they can be confusing terms. Medicaid versus Medicare.
Well, good morning, and thanks for letting me come on here today. And I'm so excited that Dawn's with me today, too, because we make a dynamic duo in what we do. So anyway, here's how I like to explain Medicaid and Medicare. So Medicaid, you want to think aid for lower income people, aid for people that don't have the wherewithal to pay for their bills, that kind of thing, medical bills I'm talking about. So that's what Medicaid is. And Medicare is care for the elderly. I'm sorry, but I'm getting close to that age 65 and older. I don't like saying that, but that's what it is. This is a program that's been around since the 1960s that we've all paid into from our payroll taxes and everything. So it's a health insurance program, Medicare for older people, and also for the disabled. So,
all right. Thank you. So that should help many try to remember what that is now. So we have coming up Medicare open enrollment or Medicare Advantage plans open enrollment. Can you tell us what that means, the dates on it, and what it's about?
Well, it's the Medicare annual election period. This is where you can jump into a Medicare Advantage plan. You can change up your prescription drug program if that's what you have going along with a Medigap plan. So it's a period of time between the dates of October 15th and December 7th. And that's when everybody's all, the pot's all stirred out there to change up your plans. Incidentally, there is also a Medicare Advantage open enrollment. Now that's between the dates of January 1st and the end of March. So what that open enrollment period is for those that are already in Advantage plans, and guess what? They get another opportunity to change their plans within the first 3 months of the year like that.
So in essence, they have just about 6 months to change what plan that they're in between October 15th and through March?
Yes.
Okay. So why would anyone want to change their plan?
That was my question, too.
Well, I've had it quite a bit where, within the companies or even from company to company, you can change your plan. And I really missed the opportunity to go from maybe a plan that I'm paying a premium on to a zero premium plan, for example. Well, you can still do that within that open enrollment period.
So how does someone have a zero premium plan?
I love that question. the answer to that question is you've already paid for it. So all of the Medicare taxes that you've paid over the years and your employers have paid into it, and anyone that's on Medicare is still paying into Medicare through their Social Security checks or directly with the government. Anyway, millions and millions of people are paying those taxes. And so the answer to the question is that it's already paid for. And then what's happening behind the scenes is that Medicare, as a government entity, is funding the insurance companies to do this for you.
So it might be a simpler plan for those who perhaps are in better physical health.
Not necessarily.
That's my preconceived notion about that plan.
Not necessarily, because I have a lot of people that have significant health issues that are in zero premium plans.
Okay. So when would they generally want to pay a premium?
If somebody's paying it for them.
Okay.
Or
I think the difference between the zero premium plans is there's a higher max out of pocket.
Yeah.
So the plans that actually have a premium, it brings the max out of pocket down. So for instance, if you had an employer or somebody who's paying your premium, mm-hmm. why not go for the higher premium plan, which then lowers your maximum out of pocket?
Okay, so if you don't want, if you want to lower your deductible, you can pay the premium in essence.
That's right.
You're concerned, well, you know, what if I go into the hospital or there's some other issue where the deductible would be $1,000, I don't really want to pay that out of pocket.
Well,
just
to clarify, there's typically not a deductible on a Medicare Advantage plan. There's just an out-of-pocket maximum. And how you add up towards your out-of-pocket maximum is via either co-pays, which is a flat dollar amount, mm-hmm. or a co-insurance, which is a percentage. So, and the idea behind this, too, is that there's only about, 4% of the population that ever get to this out-of-pocket maximum. I've had, you know, one guy this year that is getting to his out-of-pocket maximum.
And what is the max?
$5,000 or so.
Okay.
Yeah. Right around that area. Every plan has a different maximum out-of-pocket.
Yeah.
And I think another good reason to change, back to your question, Dennis, of why would people change plans, every year these companies are bringing out a new plan.
Okay.
So just because the plan you were, and they change the plans that you were on sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always a good idea to check up on the plan that you're on. Does it still meet your needs? Does it still work best for your health? And let's look at the 2022 plans that are coming out. Is there a better fit for me and my needs?
It's the same thing we do as a company in checking our health insurance every year. You know, what are the deductibles? What are the ins and outs? Should we change plans? All this. Most companies do this. So this is up to the individual at age 65, in essence.
Exactly.
To check on their Medicare
yep.
Advantage enrollment.
Yes.
Is that what this is? These terms, I mean, really.
They make it so crazy.
It's almost like RMDs and QCs.
That's what I was going to say. To help them straighten this all out.
Well, yeah. I know Laverna helps my mom with her choices on Medicare. And one thing that I've talked to Laverna about is there. You always have to check your medication is what Laverna says, because that changes, right? That list that they'll cover, just because they covered it last year doesn't mean it's on their list.
Yeah, it doesn't drastically change. It's just you want to keep aware of that. Sometimes the prescription drugs move within the formulary to different tiers and things like that. So
this is great.
I think just as important as it is for your clients to be doing a financial checkup,
right?
We do a yearly checkup with our physicians. It's a good idea to just do a yearly checkup on your health insurance plan and make sure it's still fitting your needs. Yeah.
Which you don't know might hurt you in
That's
the
right.
end,
mm-hmm.
really.
You know, we can talk about this in a few minutes, but I would like to address the age. It's 65 or 65 and a half, is it now?
65.
And that was implemented in the 1960s. Mm-hmm. We all live longer than we used to in the 1960s, and I'm curious to hear your opinions on whether or not you think that age will change and get older.
Well, we know that would have to be an act of Congress.
Right.
So, but I think there'd be a lot of people that would be kicking and screaming because of that. I'm getting there close to that age myself, and it's looking a lot younger and younger, but you're entirely right. That could be something that down the road the Congress decides to change, just like they changed the Social Security law.
Ford Agency has been here forever. We recognize their advertisements, but they also have great people there, and we have two of them here in our studio. Now, Dawn has joined relatively recently, but our children knew her way, way back when she was so much younger. very young indeed, I'll just put it that way. She helped out with a youth group there at New Hope Church, and you have a great reputation in the community, Dawn, and it's a pleasure to have you and Laverna here together with us in the studio. But how do you two work together? So if someone wants to come in to Ford and actually talk about the Medicare open enrollment, how does that work between you two?
Well, obviously, I've been in this business. I don't even want to tell you how many years I've been doing this.
No, tell us.
And I'm kind of the old timer here. But John just kind of dropped in our lap here earlier this year. I mean, we were looking for somebody, and she was already all educated in the Medicare world, licensed, everything ready to go. And it's like you came on, what, in March?
March 1st.
Yeah, and just hit the road running. And I just, as we got working together like this, I just found out that, oh, wow, she speaks my language, which is amazing. So I've been a producer with Ford Insurance for, oh my gosh, I've been there 23 years now. But, and so I go out and get the business rolled in the door. And so they brought on Dawn to help assist what I was doing, because quite frankly, we've got quite a few Medicare people in our agency there, and to help us build that business. So Dawn not only can write your policies for you and all of that, but she comes alongside of me to assist the masses of what we have going on, because we're doing webinars this year. We've got three of them scheduled here coming up where we educate our clients, and she's coming right alongside of me and helping me with all that.
Tell us about the webinars. Is that open to the regular public, general public, I should say?
Anybody can register for those. But what those are more geared to do is take our existing clients and educate them on what changes are coming up for their products. But we welcome anybody to register for those.
Great educational idea. Mm-hmm. So next question. First of all, when does someone want to sign up for Medicare, period? What goes on with that?
Well, and when can you? You can't just do it anytime, right?
Right.
So at age 65 is the golden age, right? If you are retired and you're going to be retired at age 65, you have 3 months prior to your 65th birthday to sign up for Medicare Part A and Part B, the month of your birthday, and then the 3 months after. So there's a 7-month window of when you no longer have health insurance through your work or anything like that, that you can sign up for Medicare, original Medicare Part A and Part B.
Now, Shay, you and I were just talking about someone that we know that's turning 65. So I was thinking as she was explaining that, oh my gosh, you know.
However,
he's got availability for this.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea to start the education process, probably I usually say as you turn 64 to start
absolutely
looking into that process.
And we like planners. We like people that want to take their time, plan it out. We can do the education process. The other thing that we get quite frequently is a lot of people are working past age 65.
That's right.
And they don't need to sign up for Medicare because of the way that their company covers their health insurance plan. So in our process of helping people plan out their retirement, maybe they're 70 and they don't need Medicare quite yet. So we educate them on how to do that and when to do that and plan it all out for them.
Should they do anything with Medicare at all, even though they're still working, or does Medicare automatically know that they're covered through their own insurance plan then?
Well, how that works, you have to be working for a company that's over 20 employees or more, that their insurance is considered creditable under Medicare. So therefore, you don't have to sign up for Medicare. If you work for a company that is smaller, under 20 employees, you still need the Medicare, okay?
So you have to sign up. And that could be a lot of companies here in Traverse City,
absolutely,
of course.
Yeah. Yep.
So they're still going to have to sign up for Medicare at that point.
Correct.
Even though they're still working. Now, are they going to get Medicare coverage then, or are they staying on their current health plan?
Well, they have to have the Medicare coverage, and they can choose to have it alongside of their employer plan, or they can say, wow, maybe this Medicare coverage is better for me, less expensive possibly, and they can elect to come off of their group health insurance plan like that.
So how would you use a plan that came alongside? Like what would it do? Like if it had vision and you didn't have that before on your work policy? Or, you know, just something like that had qualities that you didn't already have?
Yeah, those benefits are a la carte many times. And so you could conceivably be off of the employer's policy onto Medicare and then still continue to have their dental and vision if they offered it like that.
So a la carte means that you can have the nutty donut and the whatever other donut as well as your coffee. That's what a la carte means, right?
There you go. Yep. Sounds great.
I knew that's what it meant.
Sure. And I had a lady a few years ago who had signed up for original Medicare Part A and Part B, but she still had credible coverage through a federal employer. So she was paying the Part B premiums. This woman was in her late 80s. So for over 20 years, she had been paying a premium that if she would have had the correct education, she wouldn't have had to pay that. So it was almost a heartbreaker to acknowledge that at the moment.
Oh my
gosh. Well, you didn't even
so
have
people
to,
can really be overpaying for coverage if they're not coming in to see
really
what it is they need.
It's just a really good idea to talk to a professional to make sure that they're on the right thing.
And that happens probably a relatively fair amount for people.
That's a rarity because, I mean, so many plans today have taken away what Dawn is describing in terms of offering those benefits as what she's saying there. But still, we know how to help them through that education process to make sure they're not overspending for what they're getting.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Great. Now, what about those who have healthcare issues? You know, they're afraid they're going to even sign up for these Medicare Advantage plans. You know, what if they can't qualify?
No pre-existing conditions.
For how long?
Forever.
There are no pre-existing conditions in the state of Michigan, period, no matter what your health, for Medicare Advantage
plans. Medicare Advantage plans.
Correct.
Oh, that's radically cool, because that's not what I read.
The Medicare supplement plans, Medigap plans, that's a different story.
That's a different story. So what's the difference between a Medicare supplement plan and a Medicare Advantage plan?
This is a big topic. I think the easiest way to put it.
See, that's why I had this song, You Wreck Me, Baby, because this is crazy.
I'll wreck you.
There is so much.
No kidding.
It can get so overwhelming and so confusing. But I think the easiest way to look at it is the Medicare supplement plans, or they're called the Medigap plans. You are paying a monthly premium, whether you need service or not. And it's upwards of $120 per month, whether you need service or not. So it's a pay now plan. The Medicare Advantage plans most typically is a $0 premium. It's a pay later plan because you're paying co-payments, co-insurances. So you're chipping away. You're going to end up saving a lot of money by using the Medicare Advantage plans. Here's the best analogy I have. A Medicare supplement, a Medigap plan, is like leasing a vehicle. You're paying a monthly payment, but if something horrible goes wrong, you're going to take that car back to the dealership, and they're going to pay for that new engine.
And tell them to handle it. Handle it.
You handle it.
Yeah.
The Medicare Advantage plan, you own the car outright. You're not paying a monthly premium.
But I do like that.
But if you need to get some service done, you're going to be sharing in the cost. You're not responsible for the entire cost, but you're going to be sharing in it. That's the best analogy I have.
That's really good, Dawn. And then the Medigap plans, what they're doing is they're supplementing the original Medicare Parts A and B of what that doesn't cover. In addition, you do want to pick up prescription drugs, which is Medicare Part D, because that isn't included in what you've purchased so far. Now, with the Advantage plans, the Medicare Advantage plans, those can, most of all, I'll include the prescription drugs and then a whole slew of a lot of other benefits like dental, vision, hearing aids, travel accident. We could go on and on of all the things that are in the Advantage plans and the prescription drugs, and you just pay as you go, and they don't cost you anything extra many times in terms of your premium.
Why wouldn't they just buy this plan from Joe Namath on the TV?
Joe Namath.
Oh, boy. We're going to get posters in our office.
You guys were talking. I was thinking, what about Joe?
Yeah, we help them get all of the benefits that they deserve.
Yes. Well, folks, would you be interested in taking a phone call?
Absolutely.
I have Dave from Traverse City is calling us on line one. Hello, Dave. You're on the air.
Good morning, all.
Morning.
I have a question for you. I am 65 and still working with a qualifying health plan, so I am in that protected class that is not required to sign up for Medicare. But at some point, I will want to retire, I'm pretty sure. And I do have children that are covered under my current plan and a wife. What sorts of planning... You know, at that time, my income would effectively be greatly reduced when I retire. Would that qualify us? I mean, how do we go find a good plan to cover those family members that are not covered by Medicare?
Wow, that's a loaded question. So, this is what I do every single day, is take what your issue is and help you dissect it and get it in places that you, where everybody needs to go. So in your situation, first of all, with your Medicare, you will want to get a form from your employer that you will take to the Social Security office, and then that is what allows you to sign up for your Medicare. That form tells the Social Security Administration that you have had creditable coverage through your employer, and so therefore you won't get any penalties for not signing up for Medicare when you were turned 65. In regards to your spouse, same scenario. She would have to have the same form if she's covered under your group health insurance plan like that to get her Medicare. If she's not eligible for Medicare, then we also offer individual products. We work with the marketplace where you can get tax credits to buy your health insurance. Your income might be lower when you retire, and we can assist you with all of those. I'm trying to give you a fast answer for a long question. But anyway, sure. And then in regards to your children, then we take those one at a time and say, okay, are they better to be off on the marketplace, which typically that's the case, and or if they're extremely low income. I've seen a lot of parents that have just allowed their children to go on to Medicaid.
Sir, are you saying that under the age of 18?
I'm sorry?
May I ask, are your children under the age of 18?
One is.
Okay, you may have access, because you're 65, to Social Security benefits too, so you may want to check on that if you haven't already. Social Security benefits for those who have children under the age of 18 are available for anyone 65. Okay?
Interesting.
Check with the Social Security Department on that. Okay? And Bob Simpson, by the way, is going to be joining us. Sorry, go ahead.
As much research as I can.
Yeah.
On this for the last year. And I find a lot of people have been telling me that you're required to sign up for for Medicare at 65. And, you know, I dug a little deeper and, you know, no, that's not the case if you're
right.
covered by a qualified plan. But I just, there's a lot to meander into here.
There sure is. There sure is. It's a great question. So I would check, frankly, I'd contact Laverna or Dawn there at the Ford agency and get together with them
sure.
in terms of
and
what you can
everyone's
do.
Everyone's situation in this case is very unique, and so we just help you dissect the situation and move forward with a plan for you.
Awesome.
That's you know, great. That brings up an important point. How do people get a hold of you? Your email address, your phone number, if you could give that out, that'd be great.
Yes, our phone number is 231-941-0450. That's Ford Insurance.
Okay.
And FordAgency.com, is that the web address, or what is it?
It's FordInsurance.net.
FordInsurance.net.
Or just Google Ford Insurance.
Yeah.
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 It comes right up.
It is complicated, or it sounds complicated anyway. I mean, when I hear you talking about this, I can see in your faces that you fully understand it, and thank goodness that someone does. But, you know, I just think it's such a wonderful service.
It's one of my favorite things when a client comes in and they look stressed out from all the mailers that they've gotten,
all the phone calls that are coming in.
They sit down with Laverna or myself. We spend some time with them. And by the time they get up and leave, the look of relief on their face and the words, wow, I was so worried, and that you just made it so much more simple.
Yeah, like, that's great.
That's why I think we love our job.
Fantastic.
And one more thing I would really like to chime in here. We are doing our appointments pretty much all virtually these days, either through the phone. We do Teams meetings, that kind of thing, because of the whole COVID issue. You know, it isn't that we wouldn't actually see somebody in person, but it's like it just, for the times we're in, it's just better for everybody. Okay?
Okay. Great. We actually have some more important questions, I think, for these two. But before that, we have the Shea Stats.
You ready for some Shea Stats?
You bet. Let's do it.
Okay. With just the month of September yet to be counted in fiscal year 2021, the government has taken in $3.59 trillion of tax receipts while spending $6.3 trillion, netting to a $2.71 trillion budget deficit. The U.S. has had 23 consecutive months of deficits, its longest deficit stretch since March of 2012, and that's from the Treasury Department.
Big numbers.
That's $3,000 billion. That's a lot of billions. Yeah.
When the Supreme Court ruled on August 26th of 2021 that the CDC had no legal authority to issue an eviction, oh, how do I say this, Dennis?
Moratorium.
Just 6% of 43.6 million U.S. renters were behind on their rent, and that's from Goldman Sachs.
Wait, how many?
Just 6% of 43.6 million renters.
That's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. Inflation, as measured by the Consumer Price Index, the CPI, was up 5.3% over the 1 year ending August 31st of 2021. The last year when inflation was up at least 5% was 1990.
Oh, sorry. I was going to see if we could put Colleen on the spot.
I'm sorry. It was like a train. I couldn't stop it.
Yes, I understand.
Okay. That was
a train running off the tracks. No.
1990. That's just... It's perfect.
Or 31 years ago.
There you go.
Okay. And that's from the Department of Labor. I thought this one was really interesting. Real estate investors were involved in 17% of the home purchases, so one out of every six sales during the second quarter of 2021. The investors have taken advantage of historically low interest rates to finance upgrades on their purchases and then realize a profit by reselling to a pandemic-weary buyer who is looking for specific features in their new home. And that's from Redfin. I don't know that source, but that's the source. Kansas has the number one funding ratio of any state retirement plan. The present value of the assets set aside divided by the present value of pension obligations. At the other extreme, a state that I've lived in a couple times, Connecticut is ranked 50th among U.S. states with the lowest funding ratio for its state retirement plan, and that's from GoBankingRates.com.
It seems that I often hear in the stats that Connecticut has is one of the most expensive states to live because of their own tax base.
Yeah, it's a tough state to make, especially to start life in. Hmm. Yep. An estimated 20% of workers in the hotel and restaurant business globally have permanently exited the industry during the pandemic, electing instead to seek employment within industries that may provide greater job stability going forward. And that's from the Tony. Tony's got an Italian last
Capuano.
Name. Marriott, the Marriott CEO. There's the Shea stats, and I want to give you a heads up. Next week is a pre-record. I have my friend Barb Mahan and her son-in-law, Brian Gartland. I did a show about what it was like for Barb to lose her adult daughter to cancer and how that has rearranged their retirement and how her and her daughter's husband have moved forward with grief. And I just want to give that heads up because it is a heavy show, but I also want to let you know that they are incredibly resilient people who give you a lot of hope and encouragement for anyone facing grief of any kind.
That really would rearrange absolutely everything.
Yes.
Absolutely everything.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Shea, for doing that. And I can say for me, well, I'm looking forward to hearing that.
Yes, Steve Cook edited the show beautifully. He did a great job with the production on it. It's going to be great.
Thank you, Steve.
Looking forward to it.
All right. Do we need to take a break now? Or
no, you can give us your final thoughts. We just have a couple of minutes left.
Okay. Key question. What happens if someone doesn't sign up for Medicare at age 65 when they need to?
Well, first of all, they get penalized. The penalty on the Part B medical part of Medicare, it's a 10% per year penalty of whatever the Medicare premium is, and you pay that for the rest of your life. And on the Part D, which is the prescription drugs, if your plan doesn't include that, you get a 1% penalty per month for all the time that you didn't have the Medicare Part D.
So you need to sign up, necessarily use it.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
Right. Yep. You got to get in to see you guys to at least to figure out the playing field and how to navigate all this, right?
That is correct.
Right. Huge.
What's their number again?
231-941-0450.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.